I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Welcome to Radio Times. Last Friday, FBI agents raided the South Philadelphia home of union leader John Dougherty, his sister's home next door, the headquarters of Electrical Workers Union Local 98, the home of the union's president in New Jersey, and the offices of City Councilman Bobby Heenan. The feds are reportedly looking into the union's support of political campaigns and its finances. Local 98 has given millions of dollars to candidates over the years, making Johnny Doc, as he's known in Philadelphia, a big power broker. He also heads up the Building and Construction Trades Council. On another front, the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office is investigating allegations of intimidation at non-union construction sites by Local 98. This was after an altercation this past winter. So today on Radio Times, who was Johnny Doc? How did he become a kingmaker? And what could the government be looking for? We have two guests who have joined us here in our Philadelphia studio. Dave Davies, a familiar voice here at WHYY, senior reporter for WHYY. He writes the off-mic blog for Newsworks.org. And Dave, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Great to be back, Marty.
Also with us is Mark Dent, and he's a reporter curator at Billy Penn, and that's a local news website. And Mark, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Marty.
You're very welcome. Let me go to something that our WHYY's Bobby Allen got when he was at John Dougherty's home. This is on Friday, getting John Dougherty's reaction to the FBI removing documents.
The house is exactly the same since the last time I had 75 people here. You know, the house is exactly the same except for a few new tomato bushes.
A few doors down lives Linda Campbell, one of Doc's longtime neighbors. She says he's been railroaded by the feds.
They got it in for him. Why? I don't know. It's a shame. He's a great guy. He really is.
Another neighbor, Animal Downey, echoes that feeling.
He's a good union man. He truly is. Wonderful wages. They make wonderful wages. They build beautiful buildings. What more could you want?
Do the feds have it out for the man because he runs Local 98, the biggest spender in Pennsylvania politics? I asked him that.
I don't know. You guys will figure that out. Maybe I win too much.
Maybe I win too much. Dave Davies, let me turn to you. Who is Johnny Doc?
You know, every region, every political community has a handful of people who are huge power players. And Doc, Johnny Doc, Dougherty, is one of those in Philadelphia. We've seen others, you know, Shaka Fatau or Vince Fumo and Ed Rendell. And he's done that without ever holding elected office. He is a member. He is the head of a union that has about 4,000 members. And he's built his political empire. I don't think it's exaggerating it to call it that. Partly in the conventional ways that other politicians do, by making campaign contributions, exacting leverage, building friends, building relationships, doing favors. But he also has done it in ways that are more controversial. He kind of pushes the edge physically in some cases, accused of threats and intimidation at work sites. And
he personally or his union?
His union people, and in some cases him personally. There was, you know, he got into a physical altercation in February, which is one of the things the state attorney general's office is looking into. He's also brought some pretty unconventional tactics to politics at times. He once said to me, I practice in-your-face politics, meaning, you know, he would harass people. I mean, not he personally, but people from the union would hector and harass people on the campaign trail. And there are some kind of hijinks involving flyers, which he was cited by the ethics board, which we can talk about if you want a bit. And then he also pushes the limits on campaign finance laws in ways that we can talk about a bit. So he's an unconventional player. The other thing to be said about him is that and you could hear this a bit in Bobby Allen's report there. He's a brash, cocky guy. He personalizes things. He has feuds and grudges and deep, intense loyalties. And this makes him an interesting character to watch.
And we will talk about all of that. To you, Mark, take us to Friday morning. I mean, this was pretty dramatic what the FBI did.
Absolutely. I mean, it was first thing in the morning, you have Johnny Doc had apparently just gotten home from the shore, from what I'd heard, and he was just wearing shorts, white button down, and a Sixers cap. And it was really an image that kind
very
of just
very Philly, very Johnny Doc.
Exactly.
Think.
And you had you had dozens of people at his house. They went to his bar. They went to the union headquarters. We don't know exactly what these raids were for. And they also went to Bobby Heenan's office, the councilman who has very close ties with Johnny Dock. He's on the board and receives a paycheck still from Local 98. And at this point, from what we can tell, the Inquirer has reported that that some of this could be related to campaign finances for Kevin Dougherty. That's the Supreme Court justice who is John's brother. And to Jim Kenney,
who's the mayor of Philadelphia.
Yeah. And, you know, throughout the campaign, we've known that unions were one of the major reasons why Jim Kenney got elected. They helped him out. He got millions of dollars from a PAC, hundreds of thousands from Doc's PAC, and hundreds of thousands more from other PACs related to unions. And so now we have, you know, it's a lot of mystery, but there's obviously something that the feds are looking for that's going to come out eventually.
Well, and he said, Dave, in that piece, I mean, this is not the first time he's been investigated. Does he have anything criminal in his past that we're aware of?
No, he's never been criminally charged with anything that we know of. I mean, just to clarify one little thing that Mark mentioned, the Dougherty's Union's PAC didn't give Kenney hundreds of thousands of dollars. That would be illegal under the city campaign finance laws. What he did was give more than $500,000 to a super PAC called Building a Better Pennsylvania. And the reason I make the distinction is that by law, by election law, that super PAC is not allowed to coordinate anything with Jim Kenney. And so one potential problem might be if Dougherty and Kenney were discussing things they shouldn't have about coordinating this effort. And there's no evidence of that. I've asked them both about it during the campaign. And I think if this were about that, I think you would have seen subpoenas served on Jim Kenney and some of his staff people. So my gut tells me that's not a big part of this.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. And apparently Kenney's office has said we're not part of this investigation from what they know.
Yeah. They were, like Dave said, they were not subpoenaed is what they've said. Kenney's office was not searched on Friday. Like while Heenan's office was being searched, everything was normal on the second floor where Kenney's office is.
And just to sort of add, there are many players here. We've got John Dougherty's brother who sits on the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was a major beneficiary of money actually from Local 98, not even just from the PACs, like from Local 98 when he was running last year. And of course, his connections to Johnny Dougherty are like right there. He's the brother. And the Supreme Court has been in upheaval in the last couple of years too. So this just throws in another sort of another wrench into everything that's going on in Harrisburg.
Yeah, I mentioned the notion of political empire before. I mean, to have your brother on the Supreme Court and you being one of the primary supporters of the mayor is and his tentacles – it sounds a little sinister, but, you know, his connections go far beyond that. So this is somebody with enormous reach.
He met with Hillary Clinton in April just a few months ago.
Just to sort of show how wide his...
Tom Wolfe put him on the Philadelphia Port Authority, the board of that, just a year ago. It's all over.
Well, let me ask you about Local 98. I'm looking at you, Dave Davies, which is, as you have written, one of the most generous of the... campaign organizations in giving to candidates.
Right. The political committee associated with the electrical workers, Local 98, is by far the biggest spending political committee in Pennsylvania, far more than banks, corporations, investment banks, political committees, far more than unions many times its size. And that's because when John Dougherty, came to be – head the union in the 90s. I mean, he saw the importance of doing this, and the levy from union members' paychecks was increased to generate this $2 million plus political fund. Now, the details of that are obscure to us. Mm-hmm. We don't know. It's not clear exactly what the levy is, but that's the source of the money, and it just gives him enormous leverage. I mean, in any mayor's race, in any governor's race for the last 15 years, a big question is, where's Doc? Who's he with?
I mean, sort of who's he backing?
Absolutely.
Who's he support? Does everyone he support win?
Certainly not. I mean, in the 2007 mayor's race, which he himself was going to enter, it appeared, for a while. And one of my favorite
we love your stories, Dave.
My favorite Dougherty stories is when I went to cover the Pennsylvania Society weekend in New York in 2004. The hot dog vendors in Times Squares had hoodie T-shirts that said Johnny Dock for Mayor 2007.
Wow.
Because Dougherty's, wow. He was planning a mayoral run, and he printed these things up, and he had his guys pass them around for free. The hot dog vendors put them on so that all these connected Philadelphians who were arriving at Amtrak's and getting and at the Amtrak station and getting cabs would see it. I mean, he just is always thinking and always making his plays. Yeah, so in 2000, but in terms of not whether he always backs winners, in 2007 he backed the millionaire Tom Knox for mayor who did not win. He was then feuding with Bob Brady, the party chairman. So no, he doesn't always back winners, but what you'll see him do as in the governor's race, you know, as Mark mentioned. I mean, he backed Alison Schwartz in the Democratic primary in 2014 when Tom Wolf prevailed. He came right in and backed Tom Wolf in a big way and has been rewarded and recognized for it.
And I should add that our engineers here at WHYY are represented by Local 98, just so that our listeners know. Did you want to add something to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's like he was saying, and Johnny Dock himself has never held office. He has ran for it before. He's ran for it unsuccessfully. He lost to Larry Farnese for a state assembly seat a few years ago. But it's really just been the way that he's been able to form these relationships. Like he has arguably maybe the most power of any sort of individual in Philadelphia and in the whole political scene without holding office, and maybe it's to his benefit that he doesn't hold it, and that's why he's become so powerful.
But it's interesting looking at some of these relationships, Dave. It seems like there's falling outs, and then they're coming together, and there's falling outs. And when you look at a number of the people that he has, including Kenny, being an obvious example of that.
Oh yeah, I mean he has a temper and takes grudges personally. I mean, he and Kenny are a fascinating story. I mean, they grew up in the same neighborhood, knew each other growing up. They both went to St. Joe's Prep. I don't think they were in the same class, but knew
Seems
each
like
other.
Everyone that runs the city goes
to
St.
Mike,
Joe's
Mike
Prep.
Mike Nutter but did, yeah. And then when Doc entered the political world, he was an ally of Vince Fumo, the powerful state senator. Jim Kenney grew up in the Fumo political network, was his chief of staff, and so they were allies. And then Fumo and Doc had a falling out, and that spread to their relative camps. And it was particularly bitter and personal between Kenny and John Dougherty. I mean, one of the best columns I ever got was one time when I was calling up Dougherty about something else, and he proceeded to tell me on the phone that he knew I was getting bad information about him from Jim Kenny, who was then on city council. And in fact, he knew how often I talked to Jim Kenny because he had Jim Kenny's phone records. And he said, I know you're talking to him 2-3 times a week. I was not. I mean,
right.
I knew. But it was just fascinating that—
Was that bluster? Intimidation?
Yeah, I think he was playing me. He wanted to make it— He began the conversation by saying, look, you're as political as me, right? You're talking to Kenny all the time getting this stuff. I mean, you know, he's a formidable guy to deal with. But this was just part of a grudge. You know, this was a terrible, terrible feud. And then, you know, Fumo, Jim Kenny's mentor and patron, got into a serious corruption investigation himself. And Kenny cut loose from Fumo, and he eventually built an alliance with Dougherty, which was very critical in this mayor's race.
Well, the guy we're talking about is John Dougherty, known as Johnny Dock here in Philadelphia. The FBI raided his home and the offices of Local 98, his union. We're going to take a very short break and then get back to our conversation. We are talking with Dave Davies, the very familiar voice here at WHYY, and Mark Dent. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane, and if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Mark Dent, a reporter curator at Billy Penn. That's a local news website here at in Philadelphia. Also, Dave Davies, senior reporter for WHYY. He blogs at offmic for newsworks.org. And the man we're talking about is John Dougherty. Why? Because the FBI just raided his South Philadelphia house, his union headquarters, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 98. He's often called affectionately Johnny Dock here around town. And if you want to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me play another clip, and this is John Dougherty discussing the influence of his union. We've been talking about when it comes to or came to a campaign race.
our membership, we've had a lot of conversation over this, you know, and we're instrumental. We believe we're part of the fabric of Philadelphia. When you have the ability to influence an opinion, you have to have an opinion. Okay, so Local 98 decided that we weren't waiting around the edges. You know, we're going to come out strong. A couple people think that one of our endorsements is one of the stronger ones statewide.
And then, so talking about endorsing Allison Schwartz, Dave?
Yeah, this is from an interview I did with him where he did an event at which he presented a $100,000 check to her gubernatorial effort in December 2013. And you can hear him talking about how, you know, look, we're big dogs and we're going to act like it. And if we're going to come in, we're not going to come in with a $5,000 check. We're going to make an impact. Another interesting part of that conversation, which I think kind of illustrates part of what Doc does, which is in the more conventional way of exercising political power. He talked about, you know, Allison Schwartz is not exactly what you might think of as a John Doherty kind of guy. I mean, she comes out of the feminist movement and women's health issues and served in Congress for a long time. But he talked about how impressed he was with her. And then he mentioned something else.
What was that?
3 years before that, in 2011, Bobby Heenan, who was the union's political director, made his move to run for a city council seat. And the union was obviously wholeheartedly behind their political director, Heenan. Doc mentioned to me that another statewide official, who it turned out was Rob McCord, the state treasurer who wanted to run for governor, that they had asked him to be supportive of Bobby Heenan in that Democratic primary. And it's not easy to get involved in a primary. There are friends often on both sides. And Rob McCord declined to do so. But, he said, Allison Schwartz came in strong, and she came in that primary. She supported Bobby Heenan, and she also supported Eddie Nielsen, another Local 98 guy who was running for a political office. And Doc said, you know, at Local 98, we remember things like that. You're good to us. We're good to you. And so this kind of sends a signal. If you're assembling a gubernatorial campaign and you want to think about whether you're going to support a cause of John Doherty's, you might remember that it may come back to matter later in big numbers. And I think that's the way he plays. And that's legal. Other people do it. I mean, this is, as I said, part of the conventional ways in which he builds power and influence.
Let me read an email from Peter. The media referring to John Doherty as Johnny Doc seems to be a new development. Who's behind spinning this image of him? Can you answer that, Mark?
Well, I mean, I've not been around covering politics as long as Dave, but I feel like he's been called Johnny Doc for quite a while. And it does sound a little – to me, it doesn't even sound like a necessary beloved nickname. It almost sounds like a look out for this guy kind of nickname, in my opinion. But, I mean, has people been calling him that for a long time?
Dave has a funny look on his face.
Yeah, it's not new at all. I mean, since he first kind of appeared on the scene, people refer to him as Johnny Doc more often than John Doherty. And it's both, right? I mean,
it is both.
He's a guy that could help you or hurt you, but somebody who's formidable, right?
Do you think he's feared, Mark?
Oh, I think so, absolutely. And as we've said earlier, just because you have his support or Local 98 support is not a guarantee you'll win. But a lot of the time, if you don't have their support, you might lose. And one of the kind of the prime examples in recent years was Marge Tartaglione, a longtime city commissioner from a few years ago. You know, he totally went all in against her, and she lost. And then I believe it was a relative of Tartaglione, I think maybe her daughter, went against her in another race, and she had no chance either. And it was just kind of a whole thing where when you think about Philadelphia politics, there really are just a lot of like dynasty families and all kinds of things like that. And, you know, Doherty, it's sort of now a dynasty of his own since his brother is now the state on the state Supreme Court. But it's like, you know, when he goes all in against you, like your political dynasty could suffer.
Well, let me throw something to you, Dave, because there are other Doherty's in the city, but they're not John or Kevin Doherty. Just to sort of add to the family tree or non-family tree here, I guess.
Joe Doherty was the head of the Ironworkers Local 401, who was sentenced to, I think, 19 years in prison for violence and intimidation on work sites. 11 other members of his local either pled guilty or were convicted as well. So he's a union guy, he's a building trades guy, but he's no relation to Doherty. There was also, I hesitate to mention this, a Donald Doherty, who was an electrical contractor who was investigated and charged by federal authorities about 10 years ago, who, no relation to Dougherty, but they are longtime boyhood friends.
Wow.
And in fact, that case, which was the last time John Dougherty's house was searched by the feds, 10 years ago in November, as it happens, led to charges against this contractor, this unrelated Donald Dougherty. And the charges, in fact, involved illegal payments to Johnny Dock, to John Dougherty, because it's against the federal Taft-Hartley Act for an employer to pay things of value to a union leader if that employer employs the union leader's members. It's a
Yikes.
Little complicated.
Yikes.
But it was a dicey time for John Dougherty. You know, he was clearly under federal investigation. There was subpoenas and a search. And he came through without being charged. So I think that's part of what you see in that ease he displayed. And most of us, if our house were being searched by federal agents, would be rattled beyond measure. You know, he pulled up the blinds so everybody could see. He was, handing out treats?
Yeah.
And he said, hey, I don't make rookie mistakes. So this is an interesting character.
Yes,
and
it is.
As he said, it's not his first rodeo.
Yeah. Did you want to add to that, Mark?
Yeah, well, and I think that's part of the reason why he has, you know, for instance, this nickname and this Johnny Doc persona is because of the cockiness and the way that he's so brash and assured of himself. And, you know, it comes with the fact that he has all these relationships. Like he he's proven that if you cross him the wrong way, that you might pay for it. And that just, you know, continues to lead to he's almost like a larger than life figure in this city, at least. And I think it was Sam Katz was telling my coworker Anna Orso the other day for an article that in a way he's like he was comparing, the Democratic Party to like the new Comcast building. And there's this big elevator shaft in there right now. And without it, that whole thing crumbles. And that's Dougherty. Like there's going to be a bunch. There's going to be big changes if Dougherty is indeed actually in trouble here.
Because he sort of holds up.
Yeah, holding so much of it.
Well, let me reintroduce the two of you. That's Mark Dent. He's a reporter curator at Billy Penn. That's a local news site here in Philadelphia. Also with us, Dave Davies, senior reporter for WHYY. Again, you can read his off-mic blog for newsworks.org. In fact, I recommend that you do. And you can join the conversation. We're talking about John Dougherty, the fact that the FBI raided his house in South Philadelphia. Also, the headquarters of Electrical Workers Local 98 and some others as well. And you can call us at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And this kind of stuff doesn't happen every day. Well, joining us now is Pat Gillespie, and he's a former head of the Building and Construction Trades Council. In fact, it's the job that Johnny Dock has assumed since the retirement of our guest. And Pat Gillespie, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Hello, Marty. How are you? Hi, Dave.
Hey, Pat. How's retirement?
Yeah, really.
Well,
and what are you doing on our phone?
I do not know what it's like yet, but I am very concerned about all of this and the way the government has sensationalized this issue. I mean, they're coming after John and Bobby Heenan and others as if they were some kind of ISIS cell, and they pre-noticed all the media to be there in the morning so they could get the public's so they could position this against John and against Bobby and the other organization.
Do you know that, Pat? Do you know that to be true?
Is that true, Pat?
Tell me this: how does everybody get there that time in the morning? Waiting for the FBI to come.
I don't know that they were waiting there, Pat. I mean, the same thing happened when Ron White's offices, who was, as you know, the good friend and fundraiser for Mayor Street back in 2003. I mean, word gets around pretty quickly when there's a big movement of FBI agents and on the place.
Yeah, well, Dave, I just wonder how. I mean, it just looks to me. I'm very suspicious of it.
Okay, I didn't get a call. I interrupted you. Go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry.
Well, Pat.
I remember. I was subpoenaed to a grand jury one day, and I opened up the elevator doors, and who's standing there at the in this obscure office building? But Dave Davies and his notepad.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna let the two of you deal with this stuff off the air. Pat, let me go back to you. We called John Dougherty's office to get someone to speak to what the FBI did, and we got you. Are you speaking for John Dougherty?
I would be honored to do that, yes.
So you were asked to speak for him?
I was, yes.
Well, what do you think the feds are up to?
I wish to God I knew. They threw at the end of their presentation to the public, they said, and by the way, if you have any information about any wrongdoing, please let us know. So this is like this casting this giant net. And it's you know,
is that but Pat, is that so unusual to do something for the feds to say something like that?
Well, I think it's unusual for our government to come knocking like stormtroopers, knocking down doors and huffing and puffing around people when they could have gotten the same thing. But I mean, they're privy to all these records anyway. The Labor Department has audited and monitored that organization for you know, I think biannually, and. There are accounting firms that reputable public accounting firms that work there whose reputations are at stake. They wouldn't. I mean, what is it that they're looking for? You know, and that's the point. And if they would come out and say, okay, well, we suspect that they're terrorists. All right, well, that's fine. There's no suspicion other than there's some improper expenditures.
But isn't that worth an investigation, and then they can determine it's improper or not?
Well, it may very well be worth an investigation, but why the spectacle? Why the public spectacle? Why is it that people are coming forward to disparage a guy who happens to stand out in the middle of the square, who put his reputation on the line? But you know, it was John Dougherty many, many, many years ago who came up with the idea of Republicans for a week when we had the Republican convention here. When we had the Democratic convention, a convention that was much more difficult to manage because it's like herding cats with the Democratic operatives.
Well.
And he was at that convention, the erection of that convention, the building of that convention, the actual work. He was there every morning. He didn't have to be. He was there every morning to make sure that thing came off without a glitch.
And I don't think anyone is criticizing him for that. Obviously, we do not know what the feds are looking for. Hopefully, there will be some kind of timely release about what they found or didn't find. Let me ask you, Pat, though, the fact that the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office is looking into the potential of patterns of intimidation by Local 98. What do you make of that?
Well, that sounds very ominous. However, what it boils down to is if you have someone accosts you by design on the street and you respond to that, and an honest exchange is happens and you wind up punching each other in the nose, that's what all this comes down to. And John's susceptible to that because he stands on his two feet, and he won't run behind somebody else. He wants to lead from out in front, and that's what he's been doing his whole career.
And
by the way, the results of that whole career is the members of that organization vote very strongly to raise these kinds of monies for politics and to have these kinds of benefits. And they have the best health care that money can buy. They have a secured pension that's I think close to 100% funded. And so you don't have those kinds of worries if you're an electrical worker.
Well,
by the way, if you're a lot of other building trades workers too. But this is the one we're talking about now.
Sure, absolutely. And Pat, let me just put a question to Dave Davies. And I mean, there is no question that that John Dougherty has done incredible things for Local 98.
Well, not only that. I mean, I think it's fair. It bears pointing out that the union has done a lot of charitable work, and some of it he talks about and publicizes. And I've heard stories of people, the union just showing up and doing good things. And there are also, you know, I think there's some class prejudice involved in a lot of people's condemnation of union workers who want, you know, they want people to employ union employees, and they have a right to make a point that people should pay fair union wages. They don't have a right to bully or threaten or intimidate. The other thing to be said about Dougherty, and there are people in this town who will tell you that, yeah, there's this side of him that may be troubling, but that he supports development in this city, obviously because he wants jobs for his members, but also because he believes in the city. He wants it to progress. He's continued to live here all this time. And, you know, there are times he's taken positions that surprised people, supporting the privatization of, or at least a vote for the privatization of PGW and the soda tax. And so I've heard people who would, it would surprise you to say it, who think he's a guy who is willing to innovate, who'll get things done, and his role isn't all just, you know, some, the things that trouble us.
Pat, have you talked
Dave,
to
that, Pat? That's why I was thrilled when he took over the job that I had. Yeah, because I know how far he can bring this city, and one of the main directive of the Building Trades Council is to find the next job, is to make sure you have a successful community, and I know that John is capable of doing that. I also know that these kinds of things, these kinds of sensational outbursts from the government, whether they're found or not, I suspect that the government acts like Pavlov's dog. Someone comes in and rings the bell, and they come out like they have some kind of ISIS terrorist threat.
No one is claiming anything about ISIS. You've mentioned that several times, but no one is talking about ISIS and John Daugherty. We have about a minute before we have to say goodbye to you. Have you talked to him in the last couple of days?
I have.
How is he doing, or how is he thinking about all of this?
He's been through this before. He had 150 subpoenas a couple of years ago. 150 subpoenas that he had to go appear before, and why you do this and why you do that. And it is intrusive. It's government intrusion, and it's stimulated by people because I suspect that he does have power. And the more power and the more influence you get, I guess the closer you get looked at, especially if you stay in a community that you grew up with and if you care about that community. And the other thing that I'm upset with is you have Bobby Heenan, who's devoting an awful lot of energy to that 6th Councilmatic District, who's doing a wonderful job up there. Now he's going to be distracted. There's a young man, has two young kids. His son's headed off to high school. He's all excited about it. But he's got to look sideways now. Now everybody wants to act like a tough guy. But this is unsettling.
Well, Peck,
people come in, and it's terrible, and and I hope when all this is over that there's some kind of reckoning, that someone has to be held accountable.
Well, Pat Gillespie, I appreciate you joining us today on Radio Times, former head of the Building and Construction Trades Council, talking about John Daugherty. Thanks a lot, Pat.
All right, Marty. Thank you.
You're welcome. We're going to take a very short break and then continue our conversation with Dave Davies and our other guest, Mark Dent, talking about John Daugherty. We'll be right back. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Coming up next on Radio Times, Jeffrey Toobin joins us to discuss the kidnapping of Patty Hearst, a story that gripped the nation in the 1970s. His new book is American Heiress. That's Radio Times at 11 on WHYY.
The democracy that brought lights to rural America in the 40s.
Now wires swing out to the country. They're stretching out, long wires, reaching out where wires never went before.
It's still a good idea for bringing the internet to all of America. Electric cooperatives, an old strategy to bring Wi-Fi to the wide open spaces. Next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International.
Today at noon on WHYY.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen talking with Mark Dent from Billy Penn and Dave Davies from WHYY about John Daugherty and known affectionately, perhaps, or probably as Johnny Doc here in Philadelphia, a powerful kingmaker, if I can put it that way. And the FBI raided his house and union headquarters and some other sites on Friday. Let me play another clip, and we got these from Dave Davies, and this goes back to 2003. And this is a member of John Daugherty's Electrical Workers Union Local 98, a guy named Ray
Della Vella.
And here he is yelling at Sam Katz, the Republican candidate for mayor of Philadelphia.
Let's talk about the embezzlement. Come on, Sam, open up the lawsuits. Come on, Sam. What's wrong with the truth, Sam?
And that was from a documentary by a local filmmaker, Tigray Hill.
Yeah.
Tigray Hill. Why is that important, Dave?
Well, this is, I mentioned earlier there are ways in which Daugherty builds his power through conventional means. This is some of the less conventional stuff that the union has done historically. I first remember him getting involved in a city council race in 1995, backing a guy named Rick Mariano, who was an electrician, against Dan McElhattan, an incumbent councilman. Mariano won that race and then went to prison in a corruption case. But Local 98 folks would show up at subway stops when McElhattan was trying to talk to voters and harass them, and there were anonymous flyers and this kind of thing. The thing we heard was in the 2003 mayor's race when John Daugherty was enthusiastically supporting incumbent mayor John Street, and this Local 98 guy, Ray Della Valle, just hectored and harassed Sam Katz everywhere and kind of knocked him off his stride. These are some of the unconventional things the union has done. And I should mention another element of that. And that is when Doc was in a feud with Vince Fumo years ago, Fumo's allies would find that anonymous flyers with personal attacks against them would appear around City Hall on City Council Day and at various times. Now, the union always denied they had anything to do with this stuff. But, you know, Fumo's people said, and there's no question they believe it's the union. In 2007, in the mayor's race, when John Daugherty was backing Tom Knox, two anonymous flyers appeared, one attacking Bob Brady, one attacking Mike Nutter. They had racial and religious overtones. And the City Ethics Board conducted a lengthy investigation. And in the end, the union had to admit that it had paid two consultants, Tommy St. Hill and Ed Curlin, who had in fact produced these anonymous attack flyers. Mm-hmm. The union paid the largest civil penalty ever paid the Ethics Board, $10,000. And I will say that since that time, I haven't seen any of those flyers. And I don't see the union kind of harassing people on the campaign trail anymore. I think that's a bit of a bygone era, but it was something that they did and that gained them this reputation for being in your face, as Doc said.
Mark, something you mentioned earlier in the hour about this bar in South Philadelphia.
Yeah.
This was also raided on Friday. Mm-hmm. What do we need to know about this bar?
Well, one thing to know about the bar is, for one thing, it has had several violations over the years in terms of underage drinking. There's been some fights. Nothing like, I mean, things that are not good for a bar, but nothing out of control or totally irregular. But there's also been a lot of politicians spend money there, and their campaigns do. They'll have events there. They'll do things like that. You're talking about in the hundreds of thousands of dollars since 2000. People like Bob Brady has spent a few thousand there at least. A lot of like state representatives have spent money there. Bill Keller in particular has spent a lot. His campaigns have spent somewhere in the range of $50,000 that I was able to tabulate since 2000 at that bar. And, you know, there was also a couple years ago, a conservative-leaning website, the National Review, did an investigation on the bar, actually.
This actual bar?
Yeah, absolutely. And what they found was something that's not necessarily illegal but a little odd, like basically a self-pay scheme where it kind of looked like, for instance, like Local 98 was also giving a lot of money to the bar. And some things that would maybe just be like, what's going on, but not necessarily illegal. But, it's worth looking – the fact that the Fed's looking into that bar and all of these different connections between politicians to spend a lot of money at the bar is, wow, you know, is definitely something that is worth bringing up and looking into.
Yeah, I will just note that it's not at all uncommon for politicians, political campaigns,
sure,
to spend money for fundraisers. And they're going to spend money at some reception hall or catering hall or bar somewhere. So that's – but – and you'll tend to direct it to your friends. But you're right. It is noteworthy how much money went to that bar. The other thing is it's not exactly clear what the bar's connection is to Daugherty. It is called Doc's Union Pub.
It's in deep South Philly.
And he used to co-own the building, I believe. I don't think he's on the liquor license. I don't think he – do you know?
He's not on the liquor license. But there's another member of Local 98 who was on the liquor license at least of a couple years ago. I didn't see the most recent one. There is a Local 98 people who are on the liquor license.
And it still says – it's still Doc's Union Pub. So it's a flag flying that attracts some attention anyway. And, you know, as we don't know what this is about. I mean, and Pat Gillespie is right that there are times when the feds come in and turn people's lives upside down and make them spend a fortune on legal fees and then never level any charges. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it's troubling when that happens. But on the other hand, these are pretty standard investigative techniques to go in and hit a lot of places at once before anybody starts to hide or destroy documents. So these things happen and we just don't know where it's going.
That phone number to join the conversation is 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Facebook comment from Jay, I don't think Pat Gillespie is helping his cause one single bit.
Yikes. Pat Gillespie is a very colorful person. Let me toss something to you, Mark Dent. I mean, this is Philadelphia is often described as a union town, and here we are spending a whole hour talking about John Dougherty, yeah, and local Union 98. Does this sort of underscore the fact that this is such a powerful or such a union-represented town?
Oh, I think it does. And there's just not a lot of work that gets done by non-union labor in Center City or throughout all of Philadelphia. And that's because, you know, someone like Dougherty, who's been the head of Local 98 for, I guess, 23 years or something now, and he's really made sure that's not going to happen. And I think that we've really seen just in the last year how some of that power works, and that is with helping get Kenny elected. There was, Kenny was running against Anthony Williams, and basically you had a lot of dark monies we talked about from super PACs involved in this mayoral campaign. All of Anthony Williams's money, largely the dark money that, again, they can't actually coordinate with these groups, but this was the money that did go to support Anthony Williams, and that was from these hedge fund billionaire guys out in the suburbs who were just, you know, they were really big fans of charter schools, and that was kind of their main issue. And then you had Kenny getting unions, and the unions, like, they dominated. Like, Kenny formed, like, a much more diverse coalition, in part because of, you know, with Dwight Evans, politicians like that, and who also has ties with John Dougherty and the unions. And then you see it again this year, which was the first big legislative piece for Kenny, the soda tax to get universal pre-K and to kind of renovate the rec centers and things like that around Philadelphia. Johnny Dock came out in big support of that. And also so was Bobby Heenan, who is, you know, the majority leader of council. And I think that Heenan in particular was instrumental because Darrell Clark, the council president, wasn't always a proponent of that measure at first. But here you have a couple of the main pro-union people who were going for the soda tax, and it obviously passed.
And it obviously passed. Let me get Gary from South Philadelphia to join our conversation. And Gary, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hey, Marty. Thanks. Hey,
you're welcome.
I just don't understand the story here. Is there an implication that Johnny Dougherty is a criminal of some kind? Is he selling his power that he brokers? I just don't understand.
Okay. It's a fair question. I mean, politics is all, not all, but there's
he is a powerful
money in
guy.
Politics.
He's a powerful guy who's the subject of a criminal investigation, and that's what we know.
Right.
But we don't know. And we don't know what it's about
but
or what kind of evidence
they've generated.
But in all
the years that he's been on this earth, I mean, he's never been charged with or he's never been found guilty of a crime.
Never been charged with a crime that I know of, and certainly not in the time when his house was searched 10 years ago, that did not lead to criminal charges. Raised questions maybe about some of his financial dealings, but no charges.
No, hopefully, Gary, that helps. And I guess what complicates things is just how we as a country do money and politics. Sometimes it's hard to tease apart this stuff. Dave, looks like you want to say
something. Just going to add, it's just troubling when a person of power and influence, you know, is in the middle of a criminal investigation. It was troubling when the FBI bugged the office of the mayor of Philadelphia in 2003. And one of the things that's upsetting about this is that it takes so long to resolve these things. I mean, when Dougherty's house was searched in 2006, there were no charges until the following July, and it wasn't resolved until the year after that. And you have a circumstance now where this guy who exercises a lot of influence and is, in fact, was the incumbent mayor's biggest supporter, really, in the past election, I think, fair to say, one of top five, and has this cloud over him. And I would like to see it resolved quickly, but federal investigations tend to take forever.
Well, and we know Shaka Fatah and his legal woes. I mean, it seems you don't want to pile on too much, Mark, but it seems there are several powerful people in this part of Pennsylvania that are certainly under some kind of investigation.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look back over the last couple of years, it's been about a dozen, I think, who have either been under investigation, charged, or convicted, who are politicians either in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania, at least on this side, who have, you know, some sort of influence here. And obviously one of them, Attorney General Kathleen Kane, is on trial this week. You know, Rob McCord, who we talked about earlier, you know, he had to resign and cut a deal with the feds and you know, got off, you know, without much of a punishment.
Yeah.
But it's just so, you know, when we do look at John Dougherty, it has created like a lot of talk, and with good reason. And that's because he is so powerful. But it is also you know, worth noting that he is, you know, A, he hasn't been charged with anything, and then B, everyone around him, not everyone, but a lot of people around him have been charged with things or have been investigated. And so when you're in this culture, when you have this political culture that is seemingly facing problems with corruption all the time, to see like someone like John Doherty with so many relationships get investigated is also, I think, not a surprise. I think people probably were not totally shocked when it when Friday happened.
But let me go back to you, Dave, because you have been on the show several times talking about how Philadelphia has dealt with this problem of pay to play, cleaned up a lot of there's the, you know, the investigative, the ethics board that looks into things, and that Philadelphia is really an example of some good government here. Are we undoing all this?
Yeah, so why are we knee-deep in sleaze?
Why are we knee-deep? I mean, are we back to the corrupt and contented?
This is a really good question, and one I'm going to try to answer on Newsworks tonight.
You
tune
go.
In at 6. But I'll tell you, I called around yesterday, and it's interesting. It is a fact that when since the City Ethics Board was reconstituted and new laws were passed, I can't think of a single city official who has been charged with a crime. There have been, and it's very clear that there are new rules on gifts. There are new rules on conflict of interest. You mentioned dark money. It's actually not dark money that's been in the mayor's race. It was super PACs. It's big amounts, but they have tougher reporting requirements in Philadelphia than anywhere else. There is a pay-to-play law in Philadelphia, which would make the kinds of contributions that Rob McCord, the treasurer, got in trouble for soliciting, those are banned in the city of Philadelphia.
Right.
And
right.
Things have changed within the city. People I talk to who look at the state say, despite a just an appalling level of scandal, we had, 23 people go down in the BOTUS Gate scandal, but three of them former speakers of the House. No significant legislative reform. On the state level, you still have unlimited contributions. You have weak rules on gifts. There's no restrictions on pay-to-play giving to political campaigns. And I think that there's a lot of work to do on the state level. And then there's just the fact that if somebody really wants to do something criminal, you're going to have to catch them. It's going to happen sometimes.
Yeah. A tweet from Gio, and this is to Pat Gillespie's point, have either of you ever been called by a prosecutor's office as a tip-off for an investigation? Mark, have you?
No, not definitely not at the federal level. I'm trying to – I would say no, yeah.
How about for you, Dave? No.
Okay. And you know, Gillespie says, I was there when he appeared before the grand jury. I don't remember that, but I will tell you that when that grand jury was operating, we knew where it was, and we at the Daily News would just routinely assign reporters to spend a day hanging out there to see who was – because it was a really high-profile investigation. We didn't get any tips like that.
This is related to comment from Patricia. I have the same question as the current caller. That would be Pat Gillespie. When Kurt Weldon's daughter's home was raided by the FBI, how did the press know to be there? Obviously, they were tipped off by the FBI. This goes back to former congressman, blah, 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 blah. But I know, Dave, you wanted to respond.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, I remember that case. I think it is not typical for the feds to – and I don't know what Pat was talking about when he said invited people to give other information. There is one case that is quite prominent, and that is the Shaka Fatah raids, where an Inquirer reporter, Martha Woodall, was tipped off. And this was an interesting circumstance where the investigating agent in that case had gone to Marty Woodall, who had spent years investigating charter schools. And I think this occasionally happens where investigators will go to a reporter who knows a subject area and let them be their guide, their Sherpa. Where do you find these records? What do these relationships mean? And it can be very helpful. And I think what happened was that reporter went to Marty and she explained her reporting, stuff that had already been out in the public record. And as a result, he returned the favor by giving her an advance notice of the raid on Shaka Fatah and Shaka Fatah's son's house. I think that's the exception. In general, I don't think the feds tip people off.
Well, we're almost out of time here. Mark, do you know what happens next, or is the waiting game has started then?
Yeah, I think it's the waiting game. Like Dave said, these things take a long time, and there is going to be a cloud because of because of Bobby Heenan, the councilman's office was searched. That's a big deal right there. And then, you know, Jim Kenney is so closely connected to John Doherty, and because, you know, like Kenney's people have said, he has not been subpoenaed. His office was not searched. We can probably assume that he's at a distance of this for now. And so I don't know how much it will necessarily affect people's the way they look at him or the way he'll govern. But either way, it's going to be we'll hear bits and pieces coming out, I'm sure. But it's going to take a while.
Well, my thanks to both of you for joining us today in Radio Times. Mark Dent, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Reporter curator at Billy Penn, that's a local news website. And Dave Davies, thank you for joining us as well.
Good to be back.
Senior reporter for WHYY. You can read his off-mic blog, and that's at WHYYsNewsWorks.org. I'm Marty Moscoane. Thank you so much for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times. For more information about the show and to carry on the conversation, go to WHYY.org/Radio Times. Find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can also download a podcast of the show. Do stay with us for hour two. I'll be right back.